Amen. What a great song, and I appreciate them. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to the Old Testament, to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. And tonight, I want to bring you to two verses of Scripture that I believe has so much great truth for us. Brother, may I say to you that our prayer time is the most important time that you and I have. We do our battling on our knees in prayer. Really, nothing is accomplished for God unless it is first wrought in prayer. And I want to encourage you with this tonight. I want to encourage you to pray for one another. I want to encourage you to pray for your pastor. I need it. I want to encourage you to pray for our school teachers, our staff. I want to encourage us. You know, so often we have a default mechanism that we default to doing more rather than praying. We think, I'm going to make this work, I'm going to orchestrate this, rather than getting along with God and having a prayer life. Really, your prayer life says everything about your life as a Christian. Tonight, let's take a little test. All right, I'm not going to grade you on it, but let's take a test tonight. You see, your prayer life really is the Christian life. And how is your prayer life tonight? Now, it's not necessarily how long we spend in prayer, but that the time we are with God, that we are, as the old timers used to say, we are on praying ground or praying through, meaning that we're really getting in touch with God. Tonight, I'm asking God to do something in this service, and at the very end of the service, we're going to have a little time of prayer together. You know, may I say to you that the devil would desire anything else in life to keep you from the prayer closet. We are in a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you know something? I wish we did wrestle against flesh and blood. Don't you? You know why? Because we could just do battle in the energy of the flesh. But we don't do our spiritual warfare with flesh and blood. We cannot see the devil. We cannot see what he is seeking to do. But it is prayer that we labor together with God. And it's prayer that we find victory. It is through prayer that we find God working in our lives. And tonight, I want to preach to you this subject, the prayer of Jabez. The prayer of Jabez. Now, you know, I don't know if you've ever been reading through the Bible, and I want to encourage you to read through the Bible every year, but maybe you've come to the book of 1 Chronicles, and you get into those chapters, and it's one name after another. Now, by the way, it's there under divine inspiration. God put it there on purpose. But I believe when we come to chapter number 4, we come to two verses that we would call gold mines of great truth. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, let's begin in verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Two verses in the Bible, and this is pretty much all that we know about this man named Jabez. But I want to ask you a question tonight. If God were to give you two verses in the Bible, what would the Holy Spirit say about your life? Would the Holy Spirit say that we called on the God of Israel, that we spent that time in prayer? Now, I want you to see some very remarkable things in just two verses of Scripture about a man named Jabez. Now, we don't know much about him, but first tonight, I want you to notice what God said about this man. Let's look what God said about him. Notice the Bible says in verse number 9, the very first thing that we find, that he was more honorable than his brethren. There was something significant about Jabez's life. There was something that set him apart from everyone else, because Jabez was a man who sought after God. He called on God. Now, look, I think we have the wrong ideal sometimes about a person who really prays and a person who really works with God in prayer, who is a person who has a real prayer life. I'm afraid for many Christians, prayer is just something we do every once in a while. Prayer is something that we do when we get in trouble, or prayer is something that we enter into during a crisis. But God has designed prayer to be communication that we have with God on a regular basis. Prayer should be a direct result of just our walk with God, that we are talking with Him and He is speaking to us through His Word and we are talking with Him. It is something daily. It is not just a prayer time. It is throughout the day that we are living in that atmosphere, that spirit of prayer. But what would God say about you? Two verses. What if the Lord would have to talk about your life? And what would God give the biography of your life? Would God say she or he was an honorable person? You know, today we have put honor on very strange circumstances, have we not? People today honor people for things that God says are not very honorable. For instance, I love sports. I do. And I'm thankful that the Buckeyes took care of business yesterday, all right? And I'll tell you this, one of the young men that were here this week, he was a big Wisconsin fan, if you remember Dr. Jim talking about that. As soon as the game was over, I texted him. I said, sorry about that, buddy, you know, and just letting him know that we had to take care of business there. And he texted me back and said, it's a very sad day, you know, and it's when you have a sad team, that's what happens. But anyway, all right? And you know, I love it. I enjoy it. But is it not amazing in America that we put great honor on athletes, and many of them, their character does not match their honor? If you look into their life and look into what they do with their families and all kinds of different things, there is no honor there. God would not say that they are honorable men. But here in Jabez's life, the Bible says, what did God say about this man? That he was a man of honor because he was a man who walked with God. Can God say about your life? What would the Lord say? If God wrote two verses about your life, would He say, young person, that you're a young person of honor? Would He say, sir, that you're a man of honor? Or ma'am, would He say that you're a woman of honor? He was more honorable than his brethren. Let's read on. The Bible says this in verse number 9. And notice, why does God go immediately to his background? And his mother called his name Jabez. Now, we might stop and say, okay, well, that's kind of strange, because we obviously know what his mother called him because the Bible says his name. But God is showing us something about Jabez's life. And the Bible says, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, I want you to hear me out just for a moment. I know this past week when Dr. Jim and I am so thankful for, especially the Sunday school hour, when he talked about different wounds that each and every one of us can get. He talked about father wounds. He talked about mother wounds. He talked about different things. Do you know that I've come to understand this, that every one of us tonight, we have wounds in our background. We have hurts. We have things that make up the dynamic of our life. We have things about us that we wish were different, that we wish that we could change, and things maybe from childhood, and things maybe from a marriage, or whatever it may be. Can I tell you something? There is sorrow in every one of our lives. But if we are not careful, we can almost look at that sorrow and look at the pain and look at the wounds, and we can say, well, I'll never be what God wants me to be because of that in my past. And I think that is very unique that God brings attention to this about Jabez's life, that his mother called him Jabez. Guess what the name Jabez means? It simply means causing pain or sorrow. Now look, can you imagine calling your child sorrow? Can you imagine calling your child pain? Now, we don't know the circumstances. We don't know if in the family that there was great heartache. We don't know that Jabez's birth maybe was something untimely for the family. We don't know. But we do know this, that the mother said, your name's going to be sorrow. Your name is going to be pain. That's what she called him. Jabez grew up, no doubt, with the stigma of a name that meant sorrow or pain. And folks, can I say this to you? He was an honorable man in spite of his adverse circumstances, in spite of the hurt and the wound, in spite of the things that happened to him. And so many of us think, well, I could never be what God has called me to be because of this in my past, and this has happened, and I can never really serve God because of these things. But God is speaking to us plainly tonight that that does not have to be a reason why we cannot walk with God. Jabez, his prayer. You see, his prayer, it's not just that he prayed this, it's that he prayed it in spite of all that was going on in his life. What God said about this man was, I'm going to tell you, it's true. It's true. It's true that Jabez had wounds. It's true that he had sorrow. It's true that he had heartache. It's true that maybe his mom did not treat him the way that she should have treated him. Maybe his mom did not enjoy his birth. I don't know what it was, but there is no doubt that there is truth about the wounds in his life. And folks, tonight, can I tell you what we need to do with our wounds and our heartache and the things in our lives that we are not proud of and things that we look back upon and think that they've inhibited us from serving God? We need to understand it's there, it's true, but it is not important when it comes to us serving and following Jesus Christ. Look, God allows certain things in our life. God is never the author of our sin or the author of someone else's sin, but our God is capable. He is sovereign to take everything within our life, even those bad ingredients, and God is able to use them that we might know Him in a greater way than we could have ever known Him. Jabez, what God said about this man was that he was a man of honor. Folks, tonight, I know that maybe some dishonorable things may have come to your life, but you and I can still be men and women of honor. You may say, well, Pastor, I've not followed the Lord. You can still be a person of honor. Look here, I am more concerned about what God thinks of me and what God says of me than anyone else. You see, I have people that maybe were in my childhood that love me and care for me greatly. And can I tell you something? I've said this before. People who love you often exaggerate about you. You know? They do. I'll tell you this. There's times, even as a pastor, that sometimes I think when I preach a message, I think, boy, you know, as John Wesley said years ago, he said, boys, either put fire in your sermon or put your sermon in the fire, you know? Well, there's sometimes when I get done where I think that one's going in the fire, you know? Because there was no fire in it. But you know something, my wife often, I'll say, boy, I struggled today. She'll say, honey, that was great, you know. And I think, well, honey, you're a little biased towards me because you love me, you know. Well, can I tell you something? God is not biased. God does not exaggerate about us. God knows what we really are. But I am concerned about what God would say about my life. Look, take two verses. If the Lord would say, I'm going to put two verses down about your life, what would God say about your life? Would He say that you are a person of honor? Would He say that even in spite of the wounds, the heartache, and the sorrow, that you called on the God of Israel? Would God say that? What God said about this man. Number two, I want you to notice what this man said to God. Now let's look at what this man said to God. You say, well, Pastor, he just prayed. But look at his prayer and look at the dynamics of his prayer. We go now The Bible says in verse number 10, and Jabez called on the God of, what's the next word? Israel. Now you say, well, that's not significant. Oh, it is very significant. He called on the God of Israel. I want you to notice to whom he prayed. You say, well, Pastor, he prayed to God. But he specifically said, the God of Israel. Now, who is he talking about there? The God of Israel, all right, the Israel nation, but he is specifically referring to the man called Israel. But his name before God changed his life was Jacob. Now let's think just a little bit about Jacob. Now, Jabez knew all about Jacob. Jacob was the supplanter. Jacob was the deceiver. Jacob was not an honorable man. I mean, if you read the story of Jacob's life, man, he was a trickster. He knew how to connive. He knew how to scheme. I mean, he was good at it. And guess what? You study the life of Jacob. Was there any wounds in his family? Lots of them. Was there heartaches in Jacob's life? Lots of them. I believe that in a sense, Jabez had a connection with Jacob because Jabez, sorrow, pain, and Jacob had a lot of that. And yet he calls on the God of Israel. Can I tell you in a sense what Jabez was doing? He was saying, God, if you could take Jacob's life, and if you could change him and make him into Israel, make him into a prince with God, then I believe that you are the same God and that you can do that in my own life. That's what he is saying. He prays to the God of Israel. And brethren, tonight, can I tell you something? That there is a God in heaven that doesn't care about all of the things in your life. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't care because he does not care about you. But God looks past all of your pain. He looks past all of your sorrow. And let me tell you what he sees. He sees a person of great opportunity. A person who can do great things in the eyes of God. A person who he loves and cares for. Listen, you may think tonight that God doesn't care about me because of all the pain and all the sorrow and maybe the pain that I've caused in my own life and the sorrow that I've caused in my own life. But God looks beyond all of that and he sees an individual that he loves and cares for and has a great plan for. That's what Jabez was saying. What he is saying to God is, God, I believe that you're able to change my life. He is saying, God, if you could do that in Jacob's life, then I'm trusting you to do it in my life. You see, he is depending upon God. And folks, tonight, God loves that we think that he and believe that he could transform our lives. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but do you need a transformation tonight? Do you need God to work in you? Do you want his touch? Do you want his blessing tonight? Then this is what he said to God. He's prayed to God. He called on the God of Israel. Brethren, have you and I given God an opportunity to show us what he can really do with our lives? D.L. Moody, the story is told, and D.L. Moody did not say this, but he listened to a preacher. Well, he was a young man, and while he was listening to a preacher, the preacher said, as D.L. Moody was listening, he said, the world is yet to see what God can do with a man that is wholly surrendered to him. And D.L. Moody, in that service, God spoke to his heart, and D.L. Moody said, I will be that man. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I am going to pray to the God of Israel. I'm going to pray to a God that can take Jacob's life and to change him. And I'm going to pray to that God who is able to do great and mighty things than we could ever imagine. That is the God that I'm praying to. And by the way, Jabez was of the nation of Israel. Jabez knew what God had done. He believed that God had led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He believed in the miracles and in the power of God. And that is what he is saying to God. He is saying, God, I believe you. I believe that you're able. You know what? Oh, so often we come to God in prayer and we really don't think God can do anything. We almost think sometimes this is a hopeless situation. Well, it may be hopeless to man, but it is not hopeless to God. God can change a person's life. He can change a young person's heart. He can change a church. He can change a youth group. He can change a family. God can bring revival where it seems there can be no revival. That is who Jabez is praying to. You see, he was calling on the God of Israel, the God who cared about his people, the God who took care of them, who redeemed it and led it and supplied it with its every need. That's who he was praying to. But I want you to notice also how he prayed. Now, let's look at this again because there's something very specific about this. Go back to verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 4. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, now I want you to notice this. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now I want you to look at this. If you study this closely, you will find that his prayer was expressed in the form of an unfinished vow to God. In a sense, he is uttering a prayer vow to God. It appears that Jabez is getting ready to enter into some critical time in his life. And what many commentators believe was that he was getting ready to faith God to drive out the Canaanites from the territory that had been allotted to his family. Now remember something. You remember when the nation of Israel came into the promised land, the land of Canaan. You remember that, and by the way, the land of Canaan could never be a symbol of heaven because there's still battles to be fought in the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is where we are at now. Can I tell you what that means? The land of Canaan is the life that we must do battle here on this earth. It is the victorious Christian life, but that means that there are still battles to be fought. And the land, God gave them all of the land, but guess what happened? The enemy came in and took most of the land. And God brought them to the promised land and said, the land is yours. I've given it to you. It doesn't belong to the enemies, but you got to take it by faith. And by the way, the faith that was required to drive out the enemy would have made God real to the children of Israel. Some of them would not drive out the Canaanites and the Philistines and the Ammonites, all the different enemies of God. But here it appears that Jabez is saying, God, I want more of what you have already promised me. I want more land of what you have already given me. God, it's your land, but I must take it by faith. And this prayer, what he is saying to God is, God, I believe you. I believe that you are able. I believe that you are capable. I believe that you can do things that no man could ever do. And that is how he is praying. You see, he implies that, God, I'm trusting you. Now, let's look at this. This, what God said about this man and what this man said to God. And I want to conclude with this. There are four things that Jabez asked God for that I believe we should ask God for our families, for our marriages, parents, for our children, and church, for Grace Baptist Church. I want you to see four things tonight that he prayed. And folks, these are things God wants to give us. These are things that God wants to do. But it just doesn't come by accident. We must pray. Now notice, back in verse number 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, here's the first thing. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Number one, he prayed for a divine blessing. There is something called the blessing of God that only God can give. Only God can give it. Do you know tonight that without God's blessing, everything else is really of little value? I want you to hear me out just for a moment. I want God's blessing in my own personal life, and I want it in our church, but I want it for you. Parents, I want you to have God's blessing. That doesn't mean that we don't have trials. It doesn't mean that we don't have sorrow. It doesn't mean that we don't have times of great heartache and trouble in life. But do you have the blessing of the Lord? Jabez said, God, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Well, I'll be honest with you. I want the blessing of God. Do you want that for your life? You see, the blessing of God, there are some things that only God can give you that no one else can give you. And no money can give you, no success can give you. It is the blessing of God. It is His hand. It is His blessing. It is God blessing us indeed. That's what Jabez, what a man he was. What an honorable man. He was saying, God, more than anything else, I want your blessing. Do you know that this past week, can I tell you something? God blessed our church. He really did. I mean, folks, can I tell you something? Some churches don't see 40 people saved in a year's time. In 3 days, we saw 40 young people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. May we never lose sight of that. May we never take that for granted. May we never take it for granted. Look, that is the blessing of God. We can look at that, but I want to ask you something personally. He said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Do you want His blessing? Do you want it for your life, the blessing of God? Look, I'm not talking about monetary gain. I'm not talking about God doing something, giving you something. I'm talking about His blessing. I'm talking about His touch, His smile upon your life, His blessing. I want that tonight. And can I tell you something? I know what it's like not to have His blessing. He said, you see, Jabez was not content with just a vague feeling of walking with God. He wanted to experience God's divine blessing in a personal, intimate way. Tonight, parents, we ought to pray that God, you see, sometimes we just say, Lord, bless them. But wait a minute, there's more to it than that. You see, the blessing of God just doesn't come just because we necessarily ask for it. God's blessing comes, I believe, when we meet the conditions for it. God doesn't give His blessing just to anyone, but He wants to bless your life. But I want my life to be brought into accordance to God's will. I want to be brought under His leadership in my own life so that I will know the blessing of the Lord. Parents, let's pray for God's blessing upon our children. Husbands, you ought to pray for God's blessing upon your wife. And wives, you ought to pray for God's blessing upon your husband. And we ought to pray for one another. Listen, if you struggle with someone, you know, and look, we all deal with things. We have contention sometimes with other people. We don't get along with others sometimes. Look, that's a part of living on planet Earth, is it not? I mean, sometimes I don't get along with myself, you know? You know how that is, you know? But you know what? If you will pray for God to bless that person, it'll help give you victory in your life. Listen, he prayed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. A divine blessing. Number two, notice what he said. And enlarge my coast. Now, on the surface, you might think that that's crude and selfish. You might think, well, Jabez, that rascal, he just wants more land. Well, Jabez simply wanted to possess more of the land that God had already promised him. Do you know what Jabez was really saying? He was not praying just for a divine blessing, but he was praying for a divine enlargement. He was saying, God, I'm thankful for what I can experience here now, but God, I want more of what you have for me. And folks, most of us have only touched the surface of what God has in store for us. We've kind of stepped in just a small area, and God has so much more for us. I'm not speaking once again of monetary gain. I'm speaking of knowing the Lord and walking with Him. In fact, Ephesians 1:3. Can I read it to you? You don't have to turn there, but let me read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Listen, there are blessings. There is divine enlargement that God has for each and every one of us. But are we going beyond? Are we conquering, in a sense, more of what God has promised for us? It took faith to believe that God would give him the land even when it was possessed by the enemy. I mean, think about it. The Canaanites had the land, and he was saying, God, that land is not theirs. You gave it to me, and by faith, I'm praying that you would enlarge my coast. Can I ask you something tonight? Would it be wrong for us to pray that God would enlarge our influence? That God would allow us to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That God would enlarge our influence? That God would give us greater opportunities to serve Him and to give the gospel? You see, listen, can I tell you something? We, most of us, are just possessing a small portion of all that God has for us. Jabez made a worthy request for more of the very thing which God had promised to His people. Folks, if there are areas in your life where you're not victorious, God's already given you the victory. But we are not claiming the victory. Are there habits in your life that you're just, they conquer you? You're not conquered over them. Listen, God has already given us the victory. The victory is ours, but we must go out from the victory. You know what? Jabez was saying, that land doesn't belong to them. God gave us that land. And I'm taking it by faith. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and that thou wouldest enlarge my coast. Divine blessing, divine enlargement. Number three, notice what it says. And that thine hand might be with me. He prayed for divine strengthening. Thy hand might be with me. Well, I love that. I think I could almost preach a message on every one of these requests. The ideal is the hand of God is something very significant in the Old Testament that we find. But the hand of God signifies the guiding presence of God and His empowerment. What Jabez was saying was, God, guide me. Lord, direct my path. Does anybody here need the direction of God for your life? How many would say, I need God's direction? Folks, look, we are sheep. Sheep are directionless. We don't know the right path to God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Listen, left to ourselves, we will self-destruct. Left to ourselves, we will not go the right direction. But here Jabez is saying, God, I acknowledge that I don't know the right way to go. But he is saying, God, would you guide me? He is saying specifically that thy hand might be with me. Thy hand might be with me. I remember when our children were very young that there were times when we would be in places that were very dark. And I don't know about you, but children don't like the dark, you know. I'm being honest with you, I don't like the dark, you know. I mean, I'm 44, you know. But I remember so often we would maybe, go to some place that was dark. Maybe when Caleb and I, when he was very young, we would go deer hunting, and sometimes it was dark in those woods. You know how it's dark in the woods? I mean, it gets dark. And I remember him holding my hand. And the darker it got, the harder he squeezed my hand, you know? Like, Daddy, don't let me go. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't let him go for anything. I'll tell you, I'm not going to let go of him. I'm going to guide him out of the woods. Can I tell you something, folks, tonight? Our God wants to guide us. He wants to direct our path. He wants to lead us. He wants to show us the right way. And here, Jabez is simply praying. He is saying, God, that thy hand might be with me. You see, what he is saying is, God, I need your guiding hand. I need your empowering hand. And by the way, Jabez, when he looked at himself, he felt as helpless to achieve his goal as did those spies that came back with the evil report. But unlike the 10 spies, he had the faith of Joshua and Caleb, which looked to God for the needed empowerment. You remember the story of the 12 spies that went out? The song goes, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Well, the 10 came back and said, I'm going to tell you something, we're like grasshoppers. I'll tell you something, there's no way we can do this. But God had already promised them the land. God had already said, I will give you the victory. I will be with you. And Joshua and Caleb steeled the people. And he said, listen, yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. There are giants in the land. But God is with us. And God is able to help us. And folks, tonight, it may be true about the pain and the sorrow in your life. It may be something that you think you can never get over. It may be, as Jabez's mama called him, pain, sorrow, heartache. Yes, it's true. But God is greater than any of that. God is able to heal that. And by the way, maybe God, I want you to listen to me. Maybe God will choose not to remove all of that pain in your life. You know, I think sometimes we think, God, how come you haven't removed this? But maybe God has allowed it there so that you are dependent upon Him. So that you look unto Him and not to people. That you are trusting in Him and not to other things. He prayed for divine strengthening. Number four, look what it says. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. You know, he prayed divine protection. Jabez realized that left to himself, he would inevitably succumb to the power of evil. Jabez was acknowledging, God, I'm a weak man, and God, I'm a sinful man, and left to myself, I will enter into sin. And folks, tonight, listen, if we are faithful, it is because He is faithful. If we are victorious, it is because He is victorious. If we are strong in the Lord, it's because He is strong. And tonight, Jabez is confessing his need for the restraining power against evil stronger than his own power. Folks, you and I are no match for the devil. Did you know that? Look, the devil has caused men and women, greater Christians you and I will ever be, to fall. The devil has caused that. But brethren, tonight, I want you to know something. If Christ is in you tonight, you've trusted Him as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you tonight, may I say to you that He has all power. He is capable of doing all things well. And the Lord is the one who keeps us from falling. He is the one who presents us faultless. He is the one who enables us to be faithful and to be blameless in our life. Jabez is saying, God, protect me. Keep me from the evil. And then he said this. Notice, he said, that it may not grieve me. I think that's significant because obviously our evil grieves God. He recognized that. But he was saying, God, I don't want to grieve you. And Lord, to grieve you would grieve me. You see his heartbeat. You see, that's why when a man prayed this type of prayer, his prayer got through, because it's a man's character behind his prayer that makes true prayer. What does the Bible say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Folks, tonight, we ought to pray this to our God. God, we want your blessing tonight. God, would you enlarge our coast? Folks, tonight, I'm just being honest with you. I'm thankful that we get to be in one school, but I'm not satisfied with that. I'd love to be in all the schools around here, getting the gospel to people. What about our bus ministry? I'm asking God to enlarge our coast. But what about your personal life? That God would help you to be more of an influence and reach more people with the gospel of Christ. You enlarge our coast. But what about a divine protection in our life? A divine strengthening. And then I want you to notice the last thing. Not only what God said about this man and what this man said to God, but number three, the last thing, the answer that he received. Look what it says. And God granted him that which he requested. God said, Jabez, yes. Jabez, yes, I will do that for you. God plays no favorites tonight. And God did not say, well, Jabez, you know, I'm sorry, buddy, but all the sorrow in your life, the wounds, the heartache, he didn't even mention that. God granted him his request. Folks, tonight, the same is true for you and me. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says, beyond what you could ever imagine, that's what I can do in your life. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. Tonight, this is the prayer of Jabez, but it can be your prayer and my prayer tonight. Now here's what we're going to do. I'm not really going to ask an invitation. But tonight, I want us just to enter into a little season of prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. And I'm just going to ask her to play Sweet Hour of Prayer. And then, can I ask you to do something tonight? Husbands and wives, if you're just here together, then pray. Pray for one another. And pray for God's blessing in our church. Can I ask you to pray for me? Look here. I feel bad sometimes even asking that, but I need your prayer. I need it. More than anything else you could do for me and my family is to pray for us. We need that. Would you pray for the church that God would bless the church? Pray for yourself that God would bless you. Pray for divine protection. Let's just use the prayer of Jabez because I believe it's a good prayer. And I believe it's a prayer that honors God. Tonight, let's just spend some time in prayer. That's what we're going to do. And then I'll come back up and close this in a word of prayer here. If you want to find someone to pray with, that's fine. If you want to pray by yourself, maybe as a family you'd like to pray together, that's perfectly fine. Let's begin in a word of prayer, and then when I end, the piano will begin to play, and then let's enter into that time of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we declare our bankruptcy tonight. I mean, we are bankrupt. We have nothing, but you have everything. And God, we don't have the blessing, but you have the blessing, and we need you. And God, we pray you'll enlarge our coast, personally, but as a church. We pray that you will strengthen us, that you will guide us by your hand, and that you will protect us. Lord, tonight we call unto you. I want you to be able to look from heaven and to see us tonight and to look upon us and say, I like it. That church brings me honor. In Jesus' name we pray.